Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I mean, that's a bad shot. I care what anybody says, that's a bad shot. But that story won't be told that it was a bad shot.
Tied at 115, Brown rising to the feet. George will defend Lillard.
After a week of sports that could drive a sane person crazy, two men arrive in the wee hours of a Sunday to provide clarity, truth, and questionable sports takes.
Spread floor, Lillard with 47 tonight. Working it down to 2-1, a deep three.
Oh! What?
This is Sports Sunday.
Blazers win the series, a walk-off three from Lillard.
A recap of the sports week, a preview of today's games, and next week's big stories.
Damian Lillard from way downtown.
Now, here are Rashad Taylor and Joe Fisher with Sports Sunday on the Odyssey app and 1080.
I mean, that's a bad shot.
The Fan.
Welcome in to Sports Sunday on 1080 The Fan. Man, it feels good to say that. Joe Fisher here. Got my boy Rashad Taylor across the table.
My guy.
From this fine faux quartz, faux marble table, whatever it is in here. And then across the glass, we got Jordan Schultz. What's good, fellas?
Man, you know what it is, man. It's Sunday. It's Sunday. Here we go.
It is indeed Sunday. And yeah, I missed last Sunday. I was doing absolutely nothing, actually. Rashad texted me wanting access to the text line. And as I was in between turning over.
It wasn't working for me. I was getting pissed off.
Yeah, no, I understand. Well, as I come to find out this week, apparently nobody uses their own email or login for the text line.
Good. Somebody needs to get me that then, because times I've hosted, I've been sans text line, and I feel I'm naked.
It's really hard to do a show without a text line.
I'm pretty sure I heard
on free agency. Like, it's super hard to do that.
Dusty uses Rop's login. I use Mike Lynch's old login. I want to say that Dirt uses Swag's login. Like, nobody uses their own login for the text line. So, sorry to say this, fellas. You're on your own. All right. I ain't got to log in. I don't even know what the password for bikes is. It just autofills. But last week, Rashad wanted some texts. And as I'm making just a amazing batch of scrambled eggs and sausage and breakfast for me and my boy, I sent you over the text line.
It didn't work.
I sent you a photo.
You did.
And in that photo was a text, 503-864-6FAN, 503-864-6FAN.
The Vancouver Ford text line.
That's right. Thank you. It's literally on a piece of paper right in front of my face, too. Is someone that said, this is an all-time terrible take. That was one of the texts that came through on the text line. So I just want to know, dear God, what was happening last week while I was gone? I mean, what happened?
I think everybody was in their feelings.
What?
Onions, by the way, and the scrambled eggs really quickly before we move on and answer this question, or no?
Absolutely not.
Thank you.
Okay,
so you were born after 1980. I just don't understand why everybody's dad that cooks you eggs in the morning. Hey, you want eggs and toast? Yeah, and then I get eggs with
my
onions
heart
in it.
Just skipped.
And I'm like, what the hell are you doing?
Is that a thing, Rashad?
Eggs what?
With onions?
Some people like green onions and stuff like that. Yeah, there are a lot of people that like are onions and eggs. Like my grandmother,
like just like diced white onions.
Yeah. My grandmother used to make, like, you know, used to make onions and eggs. Like, I never ate them. But see, she would say, I don't know if it's a Southern thing
it's
or
a generational thing.
That's just as foul as old people think.
Yeah. It's, mind you, I'm not.
Ketchup and eggs. That's just as foul as ketchup and eggs.
Man, listen, now, mind you, that's not a small number of people that do the ketchup and eggs. A lot of people eat ketchup with the. I have a friend, and this is the weirdest thing in the world. And I know there are a lot of people that do it, and it's still weird. I'm sorry. But I have a buddy that puts ice in his cereal.
I've seen that before.
What? That's a multiple people thing?
Yeah. Like, I was like, that's the. So you would. You
but I don't approve.
I don't approve at all. I was like, wait, you know, so the ice is obviously water, and milk is milk. And unless you have like 1% milk, which is already, or powdered milk in itself.
Nah, whole, baby.
Whole
milk, give me all the protein, all the fat.
You want to water your cereal down after it's cold?
I mean, yeah, that seems super, super weird, but there are a lot of weirdos. So what's weirder, ice in your cereal or ketchup on your eggs?
I would say that because according to this study by the great institute named BuzzFeed, 54% of people put ketchup on their eggs at least some of the time.
54%. Yeah. More than half the people.
My wife goes ketchup. I go hot sauce if I go scrambled
39%
eggs
of people. So. There's some about hot sauce. More common than putting hot sauce on them, though, is what they say. Again, the Institute of High Scholars that ran this study, BuzzFeed University.
Oh, they're not. See, that's just a bunch of drunk people.
It's a survey. It's a survey. That doesn't. Anybody can run a survey. Okay.
I'm saying a bunch of drunk people at 2 a.m. answered that survey
at Denny's.
thank you. That's exactly what I'm saying.
Listen, I'm not an advocate of ketchup on your eggs. Number one, I'm not like ketchup isn't my favorite condiment. By far.
Okay.
You know, like I think hot sauce wins by a landslide.
That specific hot sauce, though. Because I go Frank's Red Hot.
Nah, that's the thing about hot sauce. There's so many hot sauces. Damn. There's so many. I went to a Screen Door a couple weeks ago. Shout out to
so still haven't them. Gone. Big yeah. mistake on
great,
my part.
Great spot. Oh, yeah, but they've had make their like own like in hot sauce in house and everything. Mm-hmm. Great.
Do you go Bloody Mary or no? Because they have a bomb Bloody Mary.
You know, I haven't been drinking for a little bit, so I haven't got like a any alcohol, but I can't wait to actually have some. So
well, they do throw that hot sauce in there, bloody, and it is just,
yeah, man. That hot sauce is legit, man. So, but yeah, if you're going condiments like hot sauce, and then there's so many different types of hot sauce. So if you want something a little more mild or smoky or super freaking hot, like that's available. Like how many times? Remember when they tried to make different colored ketchup?
No,
the Shrek ketchup.
There was purple and there was green. So
who can forget the Shrek ketchup?
Oh man, there was something. They used to come in these like crazy little bottles, and it was fun for
kids. Weren't they called the Easy Squirts?
Easy Squeeze or Easy Pause. Squirt? Yeah,
that's weird.
Easy Squirt.
They were, you know, the whole marketing team was in a circle and was like, man, what can we call it?
God.
Easy Squirt. That's it.
Dude, I'm looking at these fries just with purple ketchup all.
No,
oh,
it's nauseating,
hot
isn't
dog.
It?
What like, was,
and
why?
If you're, and guess what? If you're seven.
What were we doing?
If you're seven, it's green eggs and ham, right?
Oh, you know, elementary school green eggs
yeah,
and ham?
Yeah, just a little bit of food. I actually have a picture on my phone of my son when, you know, he had to pick a book to read, and he picked green eggs and ham. And I was like, do you want to make green eggs and ham for dinner? And I have a picture of him with his green eggs and ham holding the book and everything.
I love how it is literally just like a couple drops of food
that's
dye.
It.
And,
that's
but,
it.
But, hey, you eat with your eyes.
That's it. That's so you cool. know? So, yeah, man. With the marketing geniuses that came up with, I'm sorry, what's it called, Joe?
Oh,
Easy Squirt.
Easy Squirt.
Easy squirt.
It is a singular squirt. It is not easy squirts, okay?
Yeah.
And that is a Heinz.
That would be something out the other end.
That is...
yeah. Yes. But if you're six or seven, like, that's badass.
Whatever
like,
color of ketchup you choose, that's what's coming out the back end when you're done with it, whether it's green, blue. No, my ketchup, my eggs were bomb. I did not need any ketchup. I did not need any hot sauce. Salsa sauce with scrambled eggs. Yeah, I'd get down on like some what is it? Like
huevos
yeah, you'd be
I'm a peixe picante man myself.
See, now I'm hungry.
Peixe picante.
Now I'm upset. I might have to make some brunch when I get home. I got a nice package of sausage waiting for me. And Rashad, you get no pause on that one.
What you mean? No, you can have that one because guess what? I was gonna say this just as you were talking about making eggs earlier. Man, Joe's a breakfast guy. Like, he certainly is. I mean, like, so...
I don't make it often, but when I do, I go in.
When we went to the Ducks game, you know, come outside, like Joe's like, whip up some breakfast sandwiches for everybody. Oh, you know, you got guys doing brisket over here and everything. Joe's like, who wants a McMuffin?
Breakfast, breakfast Sando on the Pullman grill. I still have the grease stains on my spoiler on the back of my Corolla from that. That's almost like so I almost don't want to wash it off.
Like a badge of honor.
I was like, dude, that's from UCLA back in 22. I remember that game and that grease stain on that. It's almost like a bumper sticker right there. But no, I am glad to be back, and I'll see you guys next week, and then I'm out again. Because I'm going to go camping in 2 weeks.
It is summertime. This is what happens.
Nobody can be mad at me, all right? The number one show on this station is basically going to be dead for the next 2 weeks, okay? Pretty sure Isaac's gone all next week. Suk is leaving for 2 weeks. Jeff Sacramento is going somewhere. Swag is going to Pac-12 Media Day next Friday or something like that. The station's going to be a mess, all right? It's summertime.
It'll be all over the place.
Rashad, Joe, and Jordan to the rescue.
Oh, in the summertime, like, the calendar is starting to, like, crank up. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like that to start, but now, the camping, that was locked down a while ago. But next Saturday, Timbers game, hopefully they don't lose 4-1. That kind of seems like the trend for them lately is losing 4-1 every time. And then I told Jordan this, but locked down the tickets for the King Felix Hernandez Hall of Fame induction night into the Mariners Hall of Fame August 12th.
That's awesome.
Guess who's going to be in town playing the Mariners?
The Baltimore Orioles.
There we go.
My baby birds.
There we go.
Feed them, Jordan.
You got a lot happening this
summer.
My
birds are calling right now.
It's funny because Felix, I believe, spent 2020 spring training, or 21, excuse me, with the Orioles and pitched absolutely horrible and then retired. So it's funny that it's against the Orioles that he's being inducted into the Mariners Hall
of Fame. We did that for a little bit. We like brought in like Matt Harvey, and then we had that disgusting experiment with Ubaldo Jimenez, which we're not going to talk about that. It's we tried some things, and it doesn't matter now because we're all good.
No, it's all good. Gonna be a fun summer. Well, depending on what you call fun. You got the All-Star game. You got Felix's retirement, Hall of Fame induction ceremony going up at T-Mobile Park. So, yeah. They're playing okay baseball as well.
I'm just trying to get out to the park at some point. Like, I wasn't lucky enough to get a ticket for that or possibly get to the ASG, you know. However, like, I got to get up there. Went last summer with my son and my sister, their first baseball game. So, super, super cool. And got a chance to see the Yankees, right? In the middle of Aaron Judge's, like, home run, you know, streak that he was kind of having at that point. So, yeah, it was pretty cool.
As I put out on the new social media app Threads a couple days ago, I was today years old when I found out that I could not use loyalty points to book a hotel for the All-Star game in 2023. So, very, very frustrated. That kind of killed any hopes at a trip, unfortunately. My dad called on Friday, was like, son, big call for him to make. Let's go to the All-Star game. Like, screw it. I'm going to bite the bullet. And the lack of availability of being able to use points and being forced to pay $350 for a hotel room kind of put my dad off.
So. Are they, like, just locking it down for this weekend in particular?
No, it's, like, literally, this Saturday through Tuesday. Yeah, so you cannot.
What a bunch of turds.
Called a local event. And I'm not going to, I won't, you know,
but here's
debag
my thing.
The
like,
company
what's
publicly,
going on Saturday and Sunday?
Well, you got the...
It's a fan fest. I'm pretty sure Odyssey is throwing on a Tim McGraw concert that weekend somewhere around this
Friday
stadium.
Was the HBSU game that Ken Griffey Jr. had kind of put on. Saturday, you had the celebrity softball game,
I believe.
Yesterday was the MLB draft,
got the
if
Rising
I'm not mistaken.
Stars game or whatever.
Or no, sorry. That was... I'm thinking today's Monday. No, today is the MLB draft. Yeah, you had the Rising Stars game as well. So
is the
all
draft
that
also in Seattle?
The draft is held. I don't know when they started this, but it is held during the All-Star festivities. So yeah, it's going to be live at T-Mobile Park, actually on the infield, essentially, is what it looks like. And then you got the Home to Run Derby tomorrow and the All-Star game. So it's been going on all weekend in all those hotels.
A bunch of S.
They black out loyalty points being used. At least one company does, which...
That's cold.
F them.
Cold-blooded. I did see Felix Hernandez raise the All-Star game flag on top of the... what's the big old Seattle building there? The
Space Needle.
There it is. The Space Needle. He raised the flag there in Seattle, and he's I'd like to see that he's like embraced Seattle more since he's gone. He basically said, I'm over it. I'm over how it ended. We're all good. Love this city. Love this team. And he's somewhat
he was a big shot in the arm.
Embracing being an ambassador.
He was a big shot in the arm for the Mariners. Well, there's at that point. Like, I mean, no, seriously, when King Figs first, you know, kind of start taking off and everything like that, or first took off with the Mariners, like, I remember, and mind you, this is from a fringe fan. I remember how big of a deal that it was to have King Felix, regardless of the way it ended. That's usually the way it goes. Like, get a chance to look back at your career, look back at your interaction with fans and stuff like that, and be like, all right, well, I guess it wasn't so bad.
I mean, let's just say that he could have given the Mariners more, but he didn't. You can find what I'm talking about on different forums because it's kind of off the record online. So go 4chan. Search out what I'm talking about. No, not even 4chan, Reddit. And I think even some MLB blog forums out there. But yeah, Felix, there's a reason that he's okay with the Mariners because he kind of effed them over a little bit during his career.
I can't believe we started a Sports Sunday with some hot baseball talk. Well, it's better than the other choice. I missed last week, and last Saturday, there was some news in the city of Portland that, really hurt us. It was a tough Saturday, and then it was a tough Sunday. It was a tough Sunday not being able to be here with you guys and go through it, that initial 24 hours of learning that Damian Lillard wanted a trade. But this is the great thing about doing a show once a week, is I've said before, is that we are very measured here. We get a whole week, sometimes a few days, to think about things before we get to share our thoughts and takes. You would say we are fair, balanced. We're essentially the Fox News of 10... Wait a minute. Hold on.
Stop it right there. Don't bring up any of those networks.
We are fair and balanced, okay? But that's the thing, is we get to have some time to really think about things. And boy, has the tide turned a bit since last Saturday in this Damian Lillard trade drama, because people definitely weren't happy with the Blazers initially. Now people are unhappy with Damian Lillard and his agent. Let's talk about it, because there is a lot to get into over this last week. Rashad, Jordan, are you ready?
Let's do it.
Okay, I hope the listeners are out there ready. 503-864-6326, the Vancouver Ford text line. Let's get into it, guys. Damian Lillard, trade request. It's getting messy right here. Sports Sunday, 1080 The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Listening to Sports Sunday with Rashad Taylor and Joe Fisher on the Odyssey app and 1080 The Fan.
All right, text line. You got me looking up vintage egg poachers right now, because someone texted in that they're making poached eggs alongside beef hot links this morning. Brats, one of my favorites.
A couple different ways to make poached eggs. My wife goes with the vinegar and water.
You're just talking about a little spin method in the water, and then, yeah.
But then my dad goes with the old poacher and just boiling water and puts that on top of it with that apparatus. And,
We had this old school one that I showed Rashad that we had in the family. That I loved using that thing. It was easy. We knew what the hell I was doing. I feel like all these egg poachers nowadays, they're not the same. They're not the same.
Anything the same nowadays?
I need my old vintage egg poacher. Yeah, I don't know which one of my sisters stole that or took that, or maybe my dad still has it. Maybe I need to steal it from my dad. But
they're all about trying to find things to make life much easier than it already is. Yeah,
I need to find that, and that way I can make a nice poached egg with some hollandaise on like an English muffin.
Ooh, there you go. Benedict.
Yeah, man. Oh my God.
See, I go regular bacon though. Screw the Canadian bacon. You got to go regular bacon.
I'd go bacon, or just give me some ham with it
too.
I'm
fancy.
Sausage.
Fancy. Yeah, Screw the Canadian bacon. Little piece of salmon or something like that on the Benedict. Wow. I got to be real fancy if I'm
going with the lox. You want some capers with that?
I'll pass on the salty piece, but
that's essentially what they are. 100%.
I got to say, if we're ever camping together, or we're ever out somewhere and I get to make breakfast, I got to make it my hollandaise, cuz I add a little bit more more citrus than normal.
No packet?
No, I do it from, screw the packet. Because A, I don't want the hollandaise too thick. And then B, I want that extra citrus flavor. It brings out the flavor of the egg and the bacon and stuff. So
all right.
It's really yummy.
So how long do you think we can talk about food to avoid talking about Damian Lillard?
Another hour or two?
As long as we can.
Food Sunday on 1080 The Fan.
Guy Fieri coming up at 9:25.
Hey.
I wish.
You know what? I will say this, but we won't go on too much of tangents. Guy Fieri going to stop at an Indian place in Bend on Diners, Drive-In, and Dives.
Was that news recently? That's cool.
Yes.
Anyway, that show is still going on.
Dear God, food, stop. Thank you, text line, though. Damian Lillard requests a trade, finally, after all these years. That news comes out on Saturday. And as I said, I missed last Sunday's show, so wasn't able to give my instant thoughts. But again, it's good that we now have the week of back and forth between the two. Because what's also been nice about the last couple days is I feel like things have kind of calmed down a bit over the last day or two now. Not much has come out. It's still same old, same old. Dame wants to go to Miami, just being said differently. But I want to first, before we get into pointing fingers and blaming and, you know, getting upset with different sides, is take the macro like view of how did we get here in the first place?
Okay.
Like how long has Damian Lillard been with the team? 10, 11 years, all right? Why is he here? Why did it get to this point that he's leaving now? Dude, I go back and this is all because of decision-making partly of Neil Olshay in the franchise over essentially 20% of your franchise history, because he was there for 10 years, just like Dame, 9-10 years. And so because of what he has done over the last 9-10 years of this team, trying to build a team, trying to fix that in a year or two to cater to a older star or getting older star that might be past their prime, that's a little bit harder to do because, quite frankly, this franchise has been kind of effed up for a decade. We've been trying the same thing for a while. So now here we are, again, maybe looking at it like in Joe Cronin's eyes, little too late, like, the window closed a couple years ago after that Western Conference Finals trip, and drafting Scoot Henderson wasn't so much the start of the youth movement. That was the year before taking Shaden. Like, it was already in their eyes, like, we need to start making those moves and looking towards that in light of the moment that Damian Lillard wants to be traded and that this team isn't as successful as we hope. So over time, now we've gotten to the point where, all right, Joe Cronin is now running things because Neil Olshay, thank God, if you want to say there's been one great thing that Jody Allen has done for this franchise, she did fire Neil Olshay. He's not a part of the franchise anymore, so you have to be somewhat thankful
she
for
had
that.
To. I'm not
and
putting
she
that
had
on Jody.
To, right?
Yeah, yes. We forget that
like,
part.
Can we not put anything on Jody Allen? I refuse.
Say, whoever was in the room with her, you know, those make those decisions, the Vulcan people.
Bert Cole, probably.
Yeah, I mean.
Bert K.
Whatever. So that happens. Now we are in the Joe Cronin era, and that's where I look at team building in the NBA, and I hate to go this route, is because some teams, they hit, and they're able to find the player and transform their franchise immediately. But it's not a one-year, two-year turnover. And as things have gone over the last 2 years with the team, with the injuries, with the tanking, with the young coach, new coach, young players, that it's not going in the way of we're getting back to the Western Conference Finals. So this is now the natural part of the relationship where it's like, dude, you guys are clearly going young. I'm clearly going old and need to win a championship. I've wanted to win a championship, so I would like to be traded. And that is where we are last Sunday, is all the emotions against the Blazers and the few days after that. I mean, listening to Dirt and Sprague on the Monday after Lillard requested the trade, I mean, I agree 100% with what Andy was saying, is that because of this, like, stop supporting the team. This is BS. Like, they let them, the franchise is what let this get to this point.
Okay.
You had, and the NBA teams, Portland is so small, minuscule, nobody cares about them on a national scale. So when you have a star like Damian Lillard, as loyal as he has, you got to cater and do everything you can, not just what he wants, but and then some. Again, no all-stars. We know the story about Damian Lillard. He's never had that second player really with him. So they effed this up, plain and simple. They tripped over the table. Like, they took his loyalty for granted. And I do not blame him for wanting to go play for a contending team that has a chance at a championship. So again, before we get into what's happened over the last couple of days, we got to this point, plain and simple, because of the Blazers' incompetence, Neil O'Shea, Jody Allen, and quite frankly, a little bit goes on Joe Cronin too, because he tried to play this game with the media and all of us, saying that we're going to, hey, we want Dame a part of the team, and then he goes young. This is all on the Portland Trailblazers getting to this point.
Okay.
Again, keep the last, and this is key part, keep the last couple days out of what's been happening, because I do want to focus on just this point getting to, you know, the point of Damian Lillard asking out of Portland.
I honestly think that, number one, let me preface my comments by saying, I don't think Neil O'Shea was a great GM. But I don't think most NBA GMs are great GMs, if we're being honest. Like, I mean, the few that are, they stand
Fair
out.
Assessment.
They have those, you know, like, so if we're being real, there are a lot of teams that are still trying to figure it out.
A few and far between, yeah.
Yes, I don't think Neil O'Shea was a great, you know, GM. I think he made great moves in between being the general manager. The first of which was saying, we'll take Damian Lillard instead of established, Harrison Barnes. Let's do that. And that was the great, great decision. The next year, it was, man, let's take C.J. McCollum. So out of the gate, man, he made a couple of good decisions. Then the team broke up, right? And then everybody went their own separate ways, and the Blazers were just never the same. I think we give Neil O'Shea too much blame, because I've been a Blazer fan for a long time. We talk a lot about Bob Whitsitt and those old Blazer teams.
Trader Bob.
And they were going for it, and they were going for it. Every Blazer they got here was at the end of their run. The end of their career. Steve Smith, Scottie, remember, it did not work for Scottie Pippen in Houston before he got here. He was terrible in Houston for the most part. Him and Barkley were going at each other. That's the reason he ended up getting traded to Portland, you know, eventually. And by then, Scottie Pippen was at the end of his run. We had one. We got Arvydas Sabonis, who we drafted way earlier and everything. We finally got him at that time. And so everybody talked about Trader Bob. He did this. He did this. He did this. Without those players that were traded in, those older players, man, we're left with Bonzi Wells. We're left with Reuben Patterson, Rasheed Wallace, like a bunch of guys that are
Jermaine
good.
Jermaine O'Neal.
Yeah, and Jermaine O'Neal, who they weren't playing, but a bunch of guys who were good, Stacey Ogman, who, you know, were good, but they
weren't.
I don't
think they even drafted him either.
Yeah,
they,
you know, yeah, a bunch of guys that were good, but probably weren't going to be good enough to do that. So at this point, you got a bunch of guys now that in the era of the super team that were like, as I'm getting older towards the end of my career, man, let me go take a swing at playing with multiple guys. And that's something that's become more and more the norm around here. And so I'm not so much mad at Neil O'Shea, because I understand we've never got a big free agent. We've never really had a huge trade for somebody in their prime. Rasheed Wallace was we didn't know Rasheed would be Rasheed, right? And so we got Rasheed and was like, okay, that's probably the best player that we've ever traded for. And we got like really great years of the Damon Stoudemire.
And gave up Rod Strickland for him, right?
Yeah, exactly. We had some really good years, you know, out of that and everything. But for the most part, it's few and far between. I blame the city of Portland. If we're being honest, I'm blaming the city that can't hold an all-star game because they don't have enough five-star hotels or nightlife like that. You know, I blame a city that, man, that we lost to Hedo Turkoglu because they were like, yeah, this isn't just the place we want to be. Turkoglu was like, yeah, I'm cool. Don't want to go to Portland and play there.
Didn't have the international feel like Toronto did.
This is the reason that I think we've been struggling. It has nothing to do. Damian Lillard is a great player. But one of the things that I was reading about in that Jason Quick article was like, where are these supposed players that are lining up to play with Dame? Who are they?
Well, and this is where I go back on the franchise and Neil O'Shea and decision-making, and you look at small markets. What happens when a small market team contends for a championship? A Milwaukee, a Phoenix. I mean, Denver might have this this year a little bit, but these small market teams, they get free agents when they win. They get these veterans that want to win a championship and take discount deals, the veteran minimums, the mid-level, whatever the hell. That's so when you have Damian Lillard on the team, you need Damian Lillard and that second star, and then those third and fourth guy that are attractive as well. And then it's like, you know what? Now I'm a, I don't know, a David West who wants to join the Warriors run towards the end, and then he gives you 15 and 10 on a random playoff night. Yeah. And then it's so, and obviously Golden State, a little bit of different of an animal, but that's where Neil Olshey and the franchise is like, how do we get these veterans and players that want to play with us be a consistently winning team? And I'm not talking seventh, eighth seed. It's like you got to be 4-3 top of the league, and guys will want to come.
Milwaukee's
play here.
Won the championship 2 years ago. Who's gone to Milwaukee since then? Like, I mean, all these small market teams, and I can't even consider Milwaukee a small market. They've got a football and baseball team there on top of their basketball team. So it's like, yes, you're smaller than New York, but still bigger than Portland because you've got multiple options. And we're crazy if we think that doesn't play a role in that. Like, okay, if I can't go to football, basketball, baseball, hockey games, you know, in between the year, yeah, that plays a huge role and the whole entertainment factor of living in a place or playing in a place.
I hear what you both are saying, and I know we got to get to it here in a sec, but I got to say I'm sitting right in the middle of you two. I do feel like that Portland as a franchise has not done what it takes to give a guy like Damian Lillard the support that he needs. You look at a lot of the failings in the draft. I'm not talking about CJ. I'm not talking about Ant Hit. I'm talking about like a Zach Collins, for instance. You missed out on Donovan Mitchell. You missed out on Bam Adebayo. You go down that first round. You missed out on Kyle Kuzma. There are so many guys that if you just didn't hold to that stupid philosophy that Neil Olshey had, that, well, look, Bam Adebayo, who Dame wants to go join, one of those guys would have been in Portland already. However, the management sucks. It's not their fault that, what was that, 2014 when Wes Matthews left, or 2013? It wasn't just Wes's Achilles injury. It was the entire roster. LaMarcus went down with injury. Batum was down. I think Dame missed 10 to 15 games. That entire team got unlucky as hell. And, you know, you think of the situations with injuries before that Portland's dealt with. Is it the trainers? Is it the coaches? I don't know. I'm just going to call that dumb luck. So I put some of this on management. I put some of this on dumb luck. I put some of this on the city of Portland not having enough to attract everybody that we want, you know, like a Donovan Mitchell, like a big star like Kevin Durant.
But again, that's where I want to get to next, is the idea of attracting a free agent, and that if the situation goes wrong for Portland here, that all eyes are on Portland and that their reputation and how they handle players and stars is on the line here. Because the initial reaction to the Damian Lillard trade was, you know, obviously you grieve. What's the seven stages of grieving or something like that? I'd have to pull it up. But you go through all of them and then you thank Dame. Thank you for the best moments. Thank you for this. And then the negotiation process starts, and then you start getting demands and requests of certain teams, and then this is where things are starting to get ugly. And I want to get to that next here on Sports Sunday on 1080 The Fan. But first, Jordan Schultz with a Sports Center update.
Sports Sunday with Rashad and Joe on Portland's sports leader 1080 The Fan.
Boy, should I read the text from last week I had to Rashad? I think it was on Saturday or Sunday. I don't know. Let me find it real quick. But we were down bad last week. It was...
Everybody was really sad. Yeah. It was a sad day.
Just...
sad till about Wednesday when I heard what the hell was coming out of Dame's mouth before he actually requested a trade to the Heat.
I actually said to Rashad first, I was like, probably a good thing I'm not on the show tomorrow. I need a week to process. And then I went on to say, this S is so effed up. I'm crushed. And Rashad just being who Rashad is. Are you? I'm not surprised at all. 10 toes down, huh? Which at the time, low blow to pull the 10 toes down move. But over the last couple days, let's just say Damian Lillard has not been, how do you say, gracious to the fans of Portland as far as where we have to do right by Dame, apparently, but Dame can't do right by us.
Doesn't have to.
well, he's done right by us for the last 11 years. Look what he's done. Like, cool. And he was paid handsomely for it. And I understand we did not bring the team around him that we needed to. Go back to the last segment. Use the rewind feature on the Odyssey app. You can listen to what we just talked about, how we are in this position because of the Blazers and what they did over the last few years. But now we're at the point where Damian Lillard, who has, what, 3 years left on his contract still, at least, that means you're under contract, not a free agent. Am I correct? Yes.
That's it. Yeah.
So
does not hold a no trade clause either.
Yeah, kind of important part too. We just saw that happen with Bradley Beal and why the Wizards weren't able to get much back because he was able to name his destination. So Damian Lillard and his agent, Aaron Goodwin, what did they do? If you want to play for Miami, that's fine. I saying where you want to play, what cities, teams, that's great. Hell, I mean, from what I understand over the last 5 years, all Damian Lillard wants to do is have a chance at winning a championship, right? So get him to a contending team, one of the top 5-10 teams in the league, and there you should be happy, Dame, right? That's all you've wanted is just to contend. No, I just want to go to Miami. What? No,
just Miami.
Just Miami. The team that went to the NBA Finals and have Jimmy Butler and Bam Adebayo and... oh, yeah, and also, any team that does want me, I'm not going to play for you.
Just won't report.
Excuse me? Yeah, I know I have 3 years on the contract, but I just won't play. So, Damian Lillard, you're saying that you are not going to play basketball for the next 3 years if we don't trade you to a team other than the Miami Heat? All right, bud, let's play this game.
You know, the Blazers were blowing it up anyways, so screw it. Hold them hostage. I'm done at this point because I am pissed at the Blazers, but the bit of news I was talking about this week was that apparently Damian Lillard, before the public trade request to Miami, he was considering, and this kind of got kaput with Chris Paul going to Golden State, he was considering wanting to go home to the Golden State Warriors, and that, to me, as a Blazers fan... I don't care that that's where you're from. That is blasphemous. That is just blasphemous.
Well, as far as... And you know what? What kills me the most... Rashad's sitting back, and I'll let you
go. Rashad wants to punch me in the face. I get it.
I'll let you go is that, you know, the whole team side of thing doesn't...
I'll let you finish.
It doesn't kill me anymore because when I saw Johnny Damon end up becoming a New York Yankee after becoming one of the most beloved Boston Red Sox, that's kind of where my, my youth died there. I was like, wait, I didn't know you could do that. What? So it's just the fact it is, I want this specific team. I want this team. Oh, and it's not even like a team that has a chance. They had one of the best chances because they were in the NBA Finals last year. So, oh, okay. So real grind, real hard work you got to go through next year, right, Dame? I mean, because you are now joining the team that just went to the NBA Finals. All this, if it's true, if this is coming directly for him, if it's coming just from his agent and Dame is sitting back like, dude, what are you doing? Hopefully that's the case. But this kind of just goes back on damn near everything you've said for the last 5 to 10 years about who you are in this league, how you want to be remembered, your legacy with not just you, but your team. Like, dude, what the hell is this? So that's why I say if you're Cronin, like, all right, if you don't want to play for what team we trade you to, well, you're not going to play for us, so we're just going to roll on and, you know, DNP and roll with Scoot and our young guys, and we have fun not playing basketball. You really don't want to play basketball for 3 years? Okay, have fun with that.
And Rashad, let me just say that that is the reason why I would love for any player to go home. I understand that, but it's the going back on what you've said for the past few years and so quickly, and to see not only your demand to Miami, but then, oh, you wanted to go to this other super team as well. It just doesn't sit right with me, and it's the exact opposite of what he said.
What did I text you, Joe? You read it earlier. I said...
10 toes down, huh?
So, I got in a lot of... Not heat. But yeah, I guess, you know, a lot of people were mad at me last week because I put on my social that, you know, Dame requests the trade. Like, 10 toes down, huh? Not running from the grind. But I digress, right? That's not what you've been saying. And everybody got so mad. Bro, are you serious? Portland didn't do this. Portland didn't do this. This has to be clickbait. Bro, you're serious. You can't be a real Blazer fan. You're a Everybody's mad at me like I said it. Like I said he was running from the grind. Like I said, he was he didn't want to play on a super team. You said that. The Dame's been hanging his hat his whole career on the fact that I'm going to do it the right way. I'm going to do it this way. I'm going to build on my own. I don't want to be just another piece on a super team. He said that.
I'm okay with not winning
A championship.
My legacy does not depend on it.
These are all, and guess what? Dumbass Blazer fans ate it up. Every single bit of it. LaMarcus says one time, I'm not going anywhere. Okay, LaMarcus, we believe you. Why do we keep doing this? I don't understand why we do this to ourselves.
And let's talk about that because the emotions of this city and this team are absolutely wild. We need to probably just have a Blazers blood pressure check day just to make sure that everybody in this fan base are okay. Like, everybody show up to the Rose Quarter. We're going to do some, we're just going to make sure that everything's going okay. The ticker's all right.
Joe, there's about to be cars burning like the Blazers just won a championship.
Positive way. Like,
The opposite reason, but it'll look very
more
similar.
So like in the way that, like, the Canucks fans lit up their city when they lost the Stanley Cup.
We're going to go year. Vancouver, BC. Yeah.
All right, let's go to that next. Text line 503-864-6FAN. We'll read some of your thoughts, some that we've got here. And please text in. Tell us how you're feeling about this whole situation because it's tough, right? We're all going through it. A lot of emotions, a lot of mixed feelings. Mommy and daddy, is this my fault that you're splitting up? Please, please stay home, dad. Don't go for those cigarettes and never come back. It's a tough situation. We'll talk about it next. 1080 The Fan, Sports Sunday. Oh boy, we're working the trade machine in here, not on the computer, just talking amongst ourselves. But text line, you know, I can understand how Damian Lillard is sort of holding the Blazers hostage right now, but he did put in 12 years of his career to the Blazers and the Blazer fans, the community, and waited for them to build a winning team around them. I feel like he's giving them more than enough time to do it. Given them? Yeah. Well, he definitely has, but let's not get it twisted. I mean, Neil Olshey probably realized what he had in Damian Lillard, and
straight up,
damn near every decision he was running by Dame. Like, so that's what also kind of kills me is that, Rashad, you brought up before the show started this morning, his damn cousin was on the team for like a whole year or two. Big Nepo, Kelgen Blevins. Like, let's be real. Like, that doesn't happen if Dame's not on the team. But such a small example. But again, it's like, I mean, Jeremy Grant. Are they going after Jeremy Grant last year? If Damian Lillard, if we want to get real, are they giving Jeremy Grant the bag if it isn't for Damian Lillard? And that's a whole nother thing is like, those are side conversations between players where it's like, bro, I'll make sure they pay you before I request my trade. All right. So that way you get paid, you get the bag.
It's just ridiculous.
And then once that happens, you're secured, you're taken care of. I'll request my trade.
Two moves though, that I need to know what the other selections that Dame had, what were choice B and C? A, right. When Evan Turner got signed to that near $80 million deal and the Blazers massively overpaid for him, ended up being a pretty, you know, mid-level piece, but not worth the money that the Blazers paid him. I wonder what the second or third selection was there instead of Evan. And then B, I want to know, was there an option between Chauncey Billups and Mike D'Antoni at the head coaching position, or was it, it's going to be Chauncey, Dame, are you okay with that? Or was he offered a choice B or C? I want to know because I hear from Jason Quick's article in The Athletic last week that every decision, including these two, were run by him, but I need to know what the other options were, what he turned down. Right. Will we ever hear it? Probably not.
Yeah. Another text we got. Honestly, there's no win for anyone here short term. I don't blame Dame for requesting a trade, and he certainly earned the right for us to do right by him, but this is also a business, and Portland can't F themselves over just to make him happy. I hope he gets to a contender and we get some great draft picks. Yeah, I mean, Mac, like, zoom forward a year from now. If Damian is off this team, I get it. It's run its course. If he's on the Miami Heat, I don't care. It's just the key thing is the Blazers, and Joe Cronin especially, cannot get screwed over on this deal, or else, as Jordan mentioned, you know, hyperbole, burning the cars and rioting in the streets. It's like, that is, Joe Cronin is already on thin ice with this fan base. And I think he's winning some people back right now by digging in his heels on this and saying, like, Dame, I'm okay that you want to leave. I'm cool with it. We're going to try and make that work.
Right.
But we're not going to do right by you. We're going to do right by our team and our fans and our city. All right. Like, why are we going to take care of you when you're not going to be a part of the team? I know we didn't do that when you were here. We tried our best, quote unquote, our best.
Yeah.
But
debatable.
But so now it's like, oh, well, now that you got to trade him, now's the time that you take care of him. Now you send him to the situation that he wants on the team that he desires, and you better do it or else, because now your reputation is at stake around the league. It's like, dude, all right, let's play this game, because right now the way that 29 other media markets in the NBA look at Portland is – just pissed me off beyond belief. Like, huge middle fingers to the rest of the league over the last few months, how Portland has been treated on a national view.
How people, it's disgusting.
It is.
It's disgusting.
Portland doesn't deserve Dame and has never deserved him. Get rid of him. Just be happy with what you get.
It's been a celebration almost that Dame finally requested a trade. Like, just to watch.
Listen, I know Jody Allen is nobody is a fan of hers right now, and the sooner she sells, the better. And Cronin, again, thin ice, as I mentioned. But for fans in this city, I've always said that teams, players, coaches, owners, GMs, those change. The team, the city, the people that have been going to games for 30, 40, 50 years that have been putting their time and money. Rashad, you're always adamant about, I'm a part of this team. I put thousands of dollars. I'm putting hours of my time into this team over the decades.
It's an investment.
Yes,
absolutely.
Yes.
So it's a trade-off.
Where is doing right by us? When does that come into play? When does doing right by a million, however many people are in this city, when the Blazer fans here and across the nation and at large, like, so we got to do right by Dame, who's, again, been taken care of at this point, but we can't do right by us. I just...
Yeah, and my thing is, it's like...
Can't believe it, dude. It's,
I don't even want to say it's for lack of trying. I don't think Neil Olshey was, again, not a great GM, but I don't think he was so bad at his job to where he just wasn't trying. Just giving away money to Evan Turner and just giving away money to Mo Harkless.
Well, like, hey, let's be real quick. If we're not going to Western Conference Finals, if he doesn't pick up Cantor off the scrap heap...
No, I mean, and there. So again, there's some great pickups, some great decisions in between.
How
there.
Little that gets mentioned since that 2019 season?
Oh, absolutely.
Nurkic
went down. Yeah,
yeah. Let's be real. Like, Cantor was ripping down offensive boards every other possession and putting him back up for a bucket.
Or that was an easy
move, kicking
though.
Him back out to Dame.
Was that not his second stint in Portland, or was that his first?
That was his first. He was falling apart in New York. Okay. He was in New York, and that wasn't working well. And they picked him up. But again, I digress. Again, Olshey. Terrible GM, but those little moments,
like,
that
I don't think it was for lack of trying that this happened. It was a lot of things. Like, our best opportunities, well, outside of the Western Conference appearance, was when we had the team with LaMarcus and Mattum and everything like that. That was the best team that you had. And then all those guys had opportunities to go make more money elsewhere. Mattum went and signed a big contract in Charlotte.
Who didn't? I got a contract.
Wes Matthews got a big contract somewhere.
And Dallas.
Yeah, Rolo got money somewhere else. Like, everybody was able to get paid. And so, man, I couldn't be mad. Obviously, LaMarcus is the biggest free agent on the market that year.
Well, Rolo's got the Simpson check.
They were able to get paid, but then Neil Olshey went and gave... come on, guys, let's be honest. I love Harkless, I love Aminu, but they were basically out of the league after they left the Blazers. They should not have been paid the $40-plus million that each of them were handed by former GM Neil Olshey.
Yeah.
And I love those guys.
But you got to also think about what was available and who was coming to Portland. Carmelo Anthony. Only reason he came to Portland... it's because nobody was messing with Melo.
Yep.
Portland was like, we'll come. He said, okay, Portland, I'm good.
But
unless those are the situations that superstars are in, nobody's just volunteering to come to Portland like that.
But now that you brought that up, let's thank the Lakers for bringing Carmelo back into the league, okay? Because if it was...
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Sunday with Rashad and Joe on Portland's sports leader, 1080 The Fan.
Boy, should I read the text from last week I had to Rashad? I think it was on Saturday or Sunday. I don't know. Let me find it real quick. But we were down bad last week. It was...
Everybody was really sad. Yeah. It was a sad day.
Just...
sad till about Wednesday when I heard what the hell was coming out of Dame's mouth before he actually requested a trade to the Heat.
I actually said to Rashad first, I was like, probably a good thing I'm not on the show tomorrow. I need a week to process. And then I went on to say, this S is so effed up. I'm crushed. And Rashad just being who Rashad is, are you? I'm not surprised at all. 10 toes down, huh? Which, at the time, low blow. Low blow to pull the 10 toes down move. But over the last couple days, let's just say Damian Lillard has not been, how do you say, gracious to the fans of Portland as far as where... We have to do right by Dame, apparently, but Dame can't do right by us.
Well, doesn't have to.
Well, he's done right by us for the last 11 years. Look what he's done. Like, cool. And he was paid handsomely for it. And I understand we did not bring the team around him that we needed to. Go back to the last segment. Use the rewind feature on the Odyssey app. You can listen to what we just talked about, how we are in this position because of the Blazers and what they did over the last few years. But now we're at the point where Damian Lillard, who has, 3 years left on his contract still, at least, that means you're under contract, not a free agent. Am I correct? Yes.
That's it. Yeah.
So
does not hold a no-trade clause either.
Yeah, kind of important part, too. We just saw that happen with Bradley Beal and why the Wizards weren't able to get much back because he was able to name his destination. So Damian Lillard and his agent, Aaron Goodwin, what did they do? If you want to play for Miami, that's fine. I saying where you want to play, what cities, teams, that's great. Hell, I mean, from what I understand over the last 5 years, all Damian Lillard wants to do is have a chance at winning a championship, right? So get him to a contending team, one of the top 5-10 teams in the league, and there you should be happy, Dame, right? That's all you've wanted is just to contend. No, I just want to go to Miami. What? No,
just Miami.
Just Miami. The team that went to the NBA Finals and have Jimmy Butler and Bam Adebayo and, and also any team that does want me, I'm not going to play for you.
Just won't report.
Excuse me? Yeah. I know I have 3 years on the contract, but I just won't play. So, Damian Lillard, you're saying that you are not going to play basketball for the next 3 years if we don't trade you to a team other than the Miami Heat? All right, bud, let's play this game.
You know, the Blazers were blowing it up anyways, so screw it. Hold them hostage. I'm done at this point because I am pissed at the Blazers. But the bit of news I was talking about this week was that apparently Damian Lillard, before the public trade request to Miami, he was considering, and this kind of got kaput, with Chris Paul going to Golden State, he was considering wanting to go home to the Golden State Warriors. And that, to me, as a Blazers fan, I don't care that that's where you're from, that is blasphemous. That is just blasphemous.
Well, as far as, and you know what kills me the most, Rashad's sitting back, and I'll let you
Rashad
go.
Rashad wants to punch me in the face,
I'll,
I get it.
I'll let you go is that, you know, the whole team side of thing doesn't...
I'll let you finish.
It doesn't kill me anymore because when I saw Johnny Damon end up becoming a New York Yankee after becoming one of the most beloved Boston Red Sox, that's kind of where my, my youth died there. I was like, wait, I didn't know you could do that. What? So it's just the fact It is, I want this specific team. I want this team. Oh, and it's not even like a team that has a chance. They had one of the best chances because they were in the NBA Finals last year. So, oh, okay, so real grind, real hard work you got to go through next year, right, Dame? I mean, because you are now joining the team that just went to the NBA Finals. This, all this, if it's true, if this is coming directly for him, if it's coming just from his agent and Dame is sitting back like, dude, what are you doing? Hopefully that's the case. But this kind of just goes back on damn near everything you've said for the last 5 to 10 years about who you are in this league, how you want to be remembered, your legacy with not just you, but your team. Like, dude, what the hell is this? So that's why I say if you're Cronin, like, all right, if you don't want to play for what team we trade you to, well, you're not going to play for us. So we're just going to roll on and, you know, DNP and roll with Scoot and our young guys. And we have fun not playing basketball. You really don't want to play basketball for 3 years? Okay, have fun with that.
And Rashad, let me just say that that is the reason why I would love for any player to go home. I understand that, but it's the going back on what you've said for the past few years and so quickly, and to see not only your demand to Miami, but then, oh, you wanted to go to this other super team as well. It just doesn't sit right with me, and it's the exact opposite of what he said.
What did I text you, Joe? You read it earlier. I said
10 toes down, huh?
So I got in a lot of, not heat, but yeah, I guess, you know, a lot of people were mad at me last week because I put on my social that, you know, Dame requests the trade, like 10 toes down, huh? Not running from the grind. But I digress, right? That's not what you've been saying. And everybody got so mad. Bro, are you serious? Portland didn't do this. Portland didn't do this. This has to be clickbait. Bro, you're serious. You can't be a real Blazer fan. Everybody's mad at me like I said it. Like I said he was running from the grind. Like I said he was, he didn't want to play on a super team. You said that. Dame's been hanging his hat his whole career on the fact that I'm going to do it the right way. I'm going to do it this way. I'm going to build on my own. I don't want to be just another piece on a super team. He said that.
I'm okay with not winning
a title. With not winning a championship.
My legacy does not depend on it.
These are all, and guess what? Dumbass Blazer fans ate it up. Every single bit of it. LaMarcus says one time, I'm not going anywhere. Okay, LaMarcus, we believe you. Why do we keep doing this? I don't understand why we do this to ourselves.
And let's talk about that because the emotions of this city and this team are absolutely wild. We need to probably just have a Blazers blood pressure check day just to make sure that everybody in this fan base are okay. Like, everybody show up to the Rose Quarter. We're going to do some, we're just going to make sure that everything's going okay. The ticker's all right.
Joe, there's about to be cars burning like the Blazers just won a championship.
Positive way. Like,
The opposite reason, but it'll look very
more
similar.
So like in the way that like the Canucks fans lit up their city when they lost the Stanley Cup.
We're going to go year. Vancouver, BC. Yeah.
All right, let's go to that next. Text line 503-864-6FAN. We'll read some of your thoughts, some that we've got here. And please text in. Tell us how you're feeling about this whole situation because it's tough, right? We're all going through it. A lot of emotions, a lot of mixed feelings. Mommy and daddy, is this my fault that you're splitting up? Please stay home, dad. Don't go for those cigarettes and never come back. It's a tough situation. We'll talk about it next. 1080 The Fan, Sports Sunday. Oh boy, we're working the trade machine in here, not on the computer, just talking amongst ourselves. But text line, you know, I can understand how Damian Lillard is sort of holding the Blazers hostage right now, but he did put in 12 years of his career to the Blazers and the Blazer fans, the community, and waited for them to build a winning team around them. I feel like he's giving them more than enough time to do it. Given them? Yeah. Well, he definitely has, but let's not get it twisted. I mean, Neil Olshey probably realized what he had in Damian Lillard, and
straight up,
damn near every decision he was running by Dame. Like, so that's what also kind of kills me is that, I mean, Rashad, you brought up before the show started this morning, his damn cousin was on the team for like a whole year or 2 years.
Keljan Blevins,
Big Nepo, Keljan Blevins. Like, let's be real. Like, that doesn't happen if Dame's not on the team. But and that's such a small example. But again, it's like, I mean, Jeremy Grant, Are they going after Jerami Grant last year? If Damian Lillard, if they're, I mean, hell, if we want to get real, are they giving Jerami Grant the bag if it isn't for Damian Lillard? And that's a whole nother thing, is like, those are side conversations between players where it's like, bro, you, I'll make sure they pay you before I request my trade. All right. So that way you get paid, you get the bag.
It's just ridiculous.
And then once that happens, you're secured, you're taken care of. I'll request my trade.
Two moves though that I need to know, what the other selections that Dame had, what were choice B and C? A, right, when Evan Turner got signed to that near $80 million deal and the Blazers massively overpaid for him, ended up being a pretty, you know, mid-level piece, but not worth the money that the Blazers paid him. I wonder what the second or third selection was there instead of Evan. And then B, I want to know, was there an option between Chauncey Billups and Mike D'Antoni at the head coaching position, or was it, it's going to be Chauncey, Dame, are you okay with that? Or was he offered a choice B or C? I want to know, because I hear from Jason Quick's article in The Athletic last week that every decision, including these two, were run by him, but I need to know what the other options were, what he turned down. Right. Will we ever hear it? Probably not.
Yeah. Another text we got. Honestly, there's no win for anyone here short term. I don't blame Dame for requesting a trade, and he certainly earned the right for us to do right by him, but this is also a business, and Portland can't F themselves over just to make him happy. I hope he gets to a contender and we get some great draft picks. Yeah, I mean, Mac, like, zoom forward a year from now, if Damian is off this team, I get it. It's run its course. If he's on the Miami Heat, I don't care. It's just, the key thing is the Blazers, and Joe Cronin especially, cannot get screwed over on this deal, or else, as Jordan mentioned, you know, hyperbole, burning the cars and rioting in the streets. It's like, that is, Joe Cronin is already on thin ice with this fan base. And I think he's winning some people back right now by digging in his heels on this and saying, like, Dame, I'm okay that you want to leave. I'm cool with it. We're going to try and make that work.
Right.
But we're not going to do right by you. We're going to do right by our team and our fans and our city. All right. Like, why are we going to take care of you when you're not going to be a part of the team? I know we didn't do that when you were here. We tried our best, quote unquote, our best.
Yeah.
But
debatable.
But so now it's like, oh, well, now that you got to trade him, now's the time that you take care of him. Now you send him to the situation that he wants on the team that he desires, and you better do it or else, because now your reputation is at stake around the league. It's like, dude, all right, let's play this game, because right now the way that 29 other media markets in the NBA look at Portland is just piss me off beyond belief. Like, huge middle fingers to the rest of the league over the last few months, how Portland has been treated on a national view.
How people, it's disgusting.
It is.
It's disgusting.
Portland doesn't deserve Dame and has never deserved him. Get rid of him. Just be happy with what you get.
It's been a celebration almost that Dame finally requested a trade. Like, just to watch.
Listen, I know Jody Allen is nobody is a fan of hers right now, and the sooner she sells, the better. And Cronin, again, thin ice, as I mentioned. But for fans in this city, I've always said that teams, players, coaches, owners, GMs, those change. The team, the city, the people that have been going to games for 30, 40, 50 years that have been putting their time and money. Rashad, you're always adamant about, I'm a part of this team. I put thousands of dollars. I'm putting hours of my time into this team over the decades.
It's an investment.
Yes,
absolutely.
Yes.
So it's a trade-off.
Where is doing right by us? When does that come into play? When does doing right by a million, however many people are in this city, when the Blazer fans here and across the nation and at large, like, so we got to do right by Dame, who's, again, been taken care of at this point, but we can't do right by us. I just,
yeah, and my thing is, it's like,
can't believe it, dude. It's,
I don't even want to say it's for lack of trying. I don't think Neil Olshey was, again, not a great GM, but I don't think he was so bad at his job to where he just wasn't trying. Just giving away money to Evan Turner and just giving away money to Mo Harkless.
Well, like, hey, let's be real quick. If we're not going to Western Conference Finals, if he doesn't pick up Cantor off the scrap heap.
No, I mean, and there's some great pickups, some great decisions in between.
How
there.
Little that gets mentioned since that 2019 season.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, it's like,
because Nurkic went down. Yeah.
Yeah, let's be real. Like, Cantor was ripping down offensive boards every other possession and putting them back up for a bucket.
That was an easy
move. Or kicking them back out to Dame.
Was that not his second stint in Portland, or was that his first?
That was his first. He was falling apart in New York. Okay. He was in New York, and that wasn't working well, and they picked him up. But again, I digress. Again, Olshay. Terrible GM, but those little moments,
like,
that
I don't think it was for lack of trying that this happened. It was a lot of things. Like, our best opportunities, well, outside of the Western Conference appearance, was when we had the team with LaMarcus and Mitum and everything like that. That was the best team that you had. And then all those guys had opportunities to go make more money elsewhere. Batum went and signed a big contract in Charlotte.
Who didn't? I got a contract.
Wes Matthews got a big contract somewhere.
And Dallas.
Rolo got money somewhere else. Like, everybody was able to get paid. And so, man, I couldn't be mad. Obviously, LaMarcus is the biggest free agent on the market that year.
Well, Rolo's got the Simpson check.
They were able to get paid, but then Neil Olshay went and gave come on, guys, let's be honest. I love Harkless, I love Aminu, but they were basically out of the league after they left the Blazers. They should not have been paid the $40+ million that each of them were handed by former GM Neil Olshay.
Yeah.
And I love those guys.
But you gotta also think about what was available and who was coming to Portland. Carmelo Anthony. Only reason he came to Portland, it's because nobody was messing with Melo.
Yep.
Portland was like, we'll come. He said, okay, Portland, I'm good.
But
unless those are the situations that superstars are in, nobody's just volunteering to come to Portland like that.
But now that you brought that up, let's thank the Lakers for bringing Carmelo back into the league, okay? Because if it wasn't for the Lakers.
I know, everybody.
I mean, yeah, the Lakers, thank God.
I have a Melo jersey that proves he was on the Blazers, you jerks.
That's a sick Lakers jersey you got there.
Oh, thanks, buddy.
Where'd you get a black and red one from?
Because he had that 3-4 year stint where he went from OKC or Houston and then no team.
I got to ask you guys, though, doesn't this segment, like what we're talking about, the Blazers' inability to go get big free agents, doesn't that make Dame's time here that much more valuable and it make it that much more confusing that essentially I don't care what's available at number 3, Portland gave up on the best player that they've ever had, frankly, 5 years too soon. I don't care what's available. It makes no sense to me. It's like the Bulls moving on from Michael Jordan before they were ready.
But
yeah,
they
blew up the entire team.
They did do that. The Bulls, that's exactly what the Bulls did.
But he had already won 6 championships.
Yeah, you know,
that's a little different. The Blazers haven't even won one.
Comparison there, little rough.
What I'm saying, okay, maybe in 1992 instead of 1998. Is that a better comparison? Yeah. I mean, it's like if you decide to move on from the greatest thing that you've ever discovered in your life. Screw being a team. It's like, you know what? My favorite food, stuffed crust pizza or ice cream.
No,
I'm never going to eat it again. Moving on from that makes no sense.
And trust me, man. That's why this is, you know, us getting to this point is a unforgivable move by the Blazers to where it has to come back on Jody Allen and the ownership. It starts at the top. And that's where, again, I agree with Dirt in what he was saying on Monday. Like, stop going. Stop supporting the team, man. Like, until this franchise shows they actually care, then stop caring yourself. Like, I mean, let's get down to brass tacks. Like, and that is the biggest problem with this city, this fan base, is we care too much.
We have nothing else to care about, though.
We can't let them go.
Right,
that's
Rashad.
The issue. There's nothing else to care about. We don't have a hockey team. Like, Timbers is cool, but the Timbers is like a niche thing here in town. The Ducks are 2 hours away. The Beavers are an hour and a half away. It's like, what else do you support?
And this is how down bad I was last week is when I was texting Rashad, got to this point. I said, I love the city. But when Joey graduates high school, if S hasn't changed and or we don't have an MLB team, I'd very much consider leaving. That's how bad the Blazers have me at this point. That basically I'm preparing for 8 years from now that if Joey's like off to Oregon or going to school somewhere, I'm like, all right, y'all taken care of? You good?
That's a real thing.
All right, out of here. See ya. Maui, here I come.
I get it. We're a one-trick pony here in Portland. We've only got one. The Timbers are awesome, but they just don't,
They actually kind of suck now.
But. Well, they're okay, but they've brought fans. They just don't move the national needle nearly as much as like a NBA team or an MLB team.
Well, Timbers, they kind of have this problem too, man, is they suck, but
dude, did you see the TIFO that the Timbers Army had last game?
Didn't they win an MLS title, though, in the last, like, seven seasons?
Oh, yeah.
They've been there.
They went back to one. But again, like, this season in particular, man, they ain't playing very good. And, you know, I think that's just this town and city is that we are too loyal to our teams, or we're loyal to a fault. Which I feel like is the perfect opportunity to talk about this youth movement of the Baby Blazers and what we saw in the Summer League game the other day. Game two today, going up against the Spurs. What am I doing wrong here?
You're not doing anything wrong. It's just unfortunate that attitude is validating Joe Cronin and Jody Allen's crappy behavior.
And that's, you know... Hey, man, listen, the bet is made. If Damian Lillard somehow ends up playing another 3-4 seasons with the Trailblazers, I'll be shocked. But this is also where we have to come to terms with our situation and realize that summer league basketball is something we need to care about, because our number 3 pick and our number 7 overall pick from last year and 2 more draft picks are on there. So I think it's only fair that we start the second hour talking about what we saw from Scoot, Shaden, and the Baby Blazers. And... if we want to get emotional and let this Dame stuff carry on over, I don't blame you. It's been a tough week, okay? So let's keep going, Blazers. I think we have some more NBA stuff, because one of the wilder headlines I've ever seen in Britney Spears getting slapped by Victor Wembanyama's security guard. I feel like we can't escape.
It was, but it wasn't.
Hey, we got a mystery to solve, fellas, okay? We need to figure out who slapped Britney. Was it herself?
I think was it Vegas? Or did it happen in L.A. or Vegas?
It was Vegas, yeah.
I think the LVPD already solved the mystery.
But... there's new evidence, Jordan. Didn't you see?
Yeah, I think I'm talking about the same video evidence as you.
Blood samples.
Oh, my God. DNA.
Oh, God. All right. Blazers, Summer League, Britney Spears getting slapped, all sorts of stuff. Do we have some Hit Me Baby One More Time to come back to at some point?
Oh, that's, I like what you did there.
Oh, we'll get it, baby.
Sports Sunday, Hour 2, next, 1080 The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, boy. We're working the trade machine in here, not on the computer, just talking amongst ourselves. But text line, you know, I can understand how Damian Lillard is sort of holding the Blazers hostage right now, but he did put in 12 years of his career to the Blazers and the Blazer fans and the community, and waited for them to build a winning team around them. I feel like he's giving them more than enough time to do it, given them. Yeah. Well, he definitely has, but let's not get it twisted. I mean, Neil Olshey probably realized what he had in Damian Lillard. And
straight up,
damn near every decision, he was running by Dame. Like, so that's what also kind of kills me is that, I mean, Rashad, you brought up before the show started this morning, his damn cousin was on the team for like a whole year or two.
Keljan Blevins,
Big Nepo, Keljan Blevins. Like, let's be real. Like, that doesn't happen if Dame's not on the team. But that's such a small example. But again, it's like, I mean, Jeremy Grant. Are they going after Jeremy Grant last year? If Damian Lillard, if we want to get real, are they giving Jeremy Grant the bag if it isn't for Damian Lillard? And that's a whole nother thing, is like, those are side conversations between players where it's like, bro, I'll make sure they pay you before I request my trade. All right. So that way you get paid, you get the bag.
It's just ridiculous.
And then once that happens, you're secured, you're taken care of, I'll request my trade.
Two moves, though, that I need to know. What the other selections that Dame had, what were choice B and C? A, right. When Evan Turner got signed to that near $80 million deal and the Blazers massively overpaid for him, ended up being a pretty you know, mid-level piece, but not worth the money that the Blazers paid him. I wonder what the second or third selection was there instead of Evan. And then B, I want to know, was there an option between Chauncey Billups and Mike D'Antoni at the head coaching position, or was it, it's going to be Chauncey, Dame, are you okay with that? Or was he offered a choice B or C? I want to know, because I hear from Jason Quick's article in The Athletic last week that every decision, including these two, were run by him, but I need to know what the other options were, what he turned down. Right. Will we ever hear it? Probably not.
Yeah. Another text we got. Honestly, there's no win for anyone here short term. I don't blame Dame for requesting a trade, and he certainly earned the right for us to do right by him, but this is also a business, and Portland can't F themselves over just to make him happy. I hope he gets to a contender and we get some great draft picks. Yeah, I mean, Mac, like, zoom forward a year from now, if Damian is off this team, I get it. It's run its course. If he's on the Miami Heat, I don't care. It's just, the key thing is the Blazers, and Joe Cronin especially, cannot get screwed over on this deal, or else, as Jordan mentioned, you know, hyperbole, burning the cars and rioting in the streets. It's like, that is, Joe Cronin is already on thin ice with this fan base. And I think he's winning some people back right now by digging in his heels on this and saying, like, Dame, I'm okay that you want to leave. I'm cool with it. We're going to try and make that work.
Right.
But we're not going to do right by you. We're going to do right by our team and our fans and our city. All right. Like, why are we going to take care of you when you're not going to be a part of the team? I know we didn't do that when you were here. We tried our best, quote unquote, our best.
Yeah.
But
debatable.
But so now it's like, oh, well, now that you got to trade him, now's the time that you take care of him. Now you send him to the situation that he wants on the team that he desires, and you better do it or else, because now your reputation is at stake around the league. It's like, dude, all right, let's play this game, because right now the way that 29 other media markets in the NBA look at Portland is – just piss me off beyond belief. Like, huge middle fingers to the rest of the league over the last few months, how Portland has been treated on a national view.
How people, oh, it's disgusting.
It is.
It's disgusting.
Portland doesn't deserve Dame and has never deserved him. Get rid of him. Just be happy with what you get.
It's been a celebration almost that Dame finally requested a trade. Like, just to watch.
Listen, I know Jody Allen is nobody is a fan of hers right now, and the sooner she sells, the better. And Cronin, again, thin ice, as I mentioned. But for fans in this city, I've always said that teams, players, coaches, owners, GMs, those change. The team, the city, the people that have been going to games for 30, 40, 50 years that have been putting their time and money. Rashad, you're always adamant about, I'm a part of this team. I put thousands of dollars. I've put in hours of my time into this team over the decades.
It's an investment.
Yes, absolutely. Yes.
So it's a trade-off.
Where is doing right by us? When does that come into play? When does doing right by a million, however many people are in this city, when the Blazer fans here and across the nation and at large, like, so we got to do right by Dame, who's, again, been taken care of at this point, but we can't do right by us.
My thing is, it's like,
can't believe it, dude. It's,
I don't even want to say it's for lack of trying. I don't think Neil Olshey was, again, not a great GM, but I don't think he was so bad at his job to where he just wasn't trying. Just giving away money to Evan Turner and just giving away money to Mo Harkless.
Well, like, hey, let's be real quick. If we're not going to Western Conference Finals, if he doesn't pick up Cantor off the scrap heap.
No, I mean, and there, so again, there's some great pickups, decisions in between.
How little that gets mentioned since that 2019 season.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, it's like,
because Nurkic went down. Yeah.
Yeah, let's be real. Like, Cantor was ripping down offensive boards every other possession and putting him back up for a bucket.
That was an easy move.
Or kicking him back out to Dame.
Was that not his second stint in Portland, or was that his first?
That was his first. He was falling apart in New York. Okay. He was in New York, and that wasn't working well, and they picked him up. But again, I digress. Again, Olshey, terrible GM, but those little moments,
like,
that
I don't think it was for lack of trying that this happened. It was a lot of things. Like, our best opportunities, well, outside of the Western Conference appearance, was when we had the team with LaMarcus and Mathieu and everything like that. That was the best team that you had. And then all those guys had opportunities to go make more money elsewhere. Batum signed a big contract in Charlotte.
Who didn't? I got a contract.
Wes Matthews got a big contract somewhere.
And Dallas.
Yeah, Rolo got money somewhere else. Like, everybody was able to get paid, and so. Man, I couldn't be mad. Obviously, LaMarcus is the biggest free agent on the market that year.
Well, Rolo's got the Simpson check.
They were able to
get
paid, but then Neil Olshay went and gave... come on, guys, let's be honest. I love Harkless, I love Aminu, but they were basically out of the league after they left the Blazers. They should not have been paid the $40-plus million that each of them were handed by former GM Neil Olshay.
Yeah.
And I love those guys.
But you got to also think about what was available and who was coming to Portland. Carmelo Anthony. Only reason he came to Portland... because nobody was messing with Melo.
Yep.
Portland was like, we'll come. He said, okay, Portland, I'm good.
But
unless those are the situations that superstars are in, nobody's just volunteering to come to Portland like that.
But now that you brought that up, let's thank the Lakers for bringing Carmelo back into the league, okay? Because if it wasn't for the Lakers.
I know, everybody.
I mean, yeah, the Lakers, thank God.
I have a Melo jersey that proves he was on the Blazers, you jerks.
That's a sick Lakers jersey you got there.
Oh, thanks, buddy.
Where'd you get a black and red one from?
Because he had that 3-4-year stint where he went from OKC or Houston and then no team?
I got to ask you guys, though, doesn't this segment, like what we're talking about, the Blazers' inability to go get big free agents, doesn't that make Dame's time here that much more valuable and it make it that much more confusing that essentially I don't care what's available at number 3, Portland gave up on the best player that they've ever had, frankly, 5 years too soon. I don't care what's available. It makes no sense to me. It's like the Bulls moving on from Michael Jordan before they were ready.
But
yeah,
they
blew up the entire team.
They did do that. The Bulls, that's exactly what the Bulls did.
But he had already won 6 championships.
Yeah,
that's a little different. The Blazers haven't even won one.
Comparison there, little rough.
What I'm saying, okay, maybe in 1992 instead of 1998. Is that a better comparison? I mean, it's like if you decide to move on from... the greatest thing that you've ever discovered in your life. Screw being a team. It's like, you know what? My favorite food, stuffed crust pizza or ice cream.
No,
I'm never going to eat it again. Moving on from that makes no sense.
And trust me, man. That's why this is, us getting to this point is a unforgivable move by the Blazers to where it has to come back on Jody Allen and the ownership. It starts at the top. And that's where, again, I agree with Dirt in what he was saying on Monday. Like, stop going. Stop supporting the team, man. Like, until this franchise shows they actually care, then stop caring yourself. Like, I mean, let's get down to brass tacks. Like, and that is the biggest problem with this city, this fan base, is we care too much.
We have nothing else to care about, though.
We
and
care
that's
too
the
much.
Issue.
We can't let them go.
Right, that's Rashad. The issue. There's nothing else to care about. We don't have a hockey team. Like, Timbers is cool, but the Timbers is like a niche thing here in town. The Ducks are 2 hours away. The Beavers are an hour and a half away. It's like, what else do you support?
And this is how down bad I was last week is when I was texting Rashad. Got to this point. I said, I love this city. But when Joey graduates high school, if S hasn't changed and or we don't have an MLB team, I'd very much consider leaving. That's how bad the Blazers have me at this point. That basically I'm preparing for 8 years from now that if Joey's like off to Oregon or going to school somewhere, I'm like, all right, y'all taken care of? You good?
That's a real thing.
All right, out of here. See ya. Maui, here I come.
I get it. We're a one-trick pony here in Portland. We've only got one. The Timbers are awesome, but they just don't,
They actually kind of suck now.
But. Well, they're okay, but they've brought fans. They just don't move the national needle nearly as much as like a NBA team or an MLB team.
Well, Timbers, they kind of have this problem too, man, is they suck, but... Dude, did you see the TIFO that the Timbers Army had last game?
Didn't they win an MLS title, though, in the last, like, 7 seasons?
Oh, yeah.
They've been there.
They went back to one. But again, like, this season in particular, man, they ain't playing very good. And, I think that's just this town and city is that we are too loyal to our teams, or we're loyal to a fault. Which I feel like is the perfect opportunity to talk about this youth movement of the baby Blazers and what we saw in the summer league game the other day. Game 2 today, going up against the Spurs. What am I doing wrong here?
You're not doing anything wrong. It's just unfortunate that attitude is validating Joe Cronin and Jody Allen's crappy behavior.
And that's, hey, man, listen, the bet is made. If Damian Lillard somehow ends up playing another 3-4 seasons with the Trailblazers, I'll be shocked. But This is also where we have to come to terms with our situation and realize that summer league basketball is something we need to care about, because our number three pick and our number seven overall pick from last year and two more draft picks are on there. So I think it's only fair that we start the second hour talking about what we saw from Scoot, Shaden, and the baby Blazers. And if we want to get emotional and let this Dame stuff carry on over, I don't blame you. It's been a tough week, okay? So let's keep going, Blazers. I think we have some more NBA stuff, because one of the wilder headlines I've ever seen in Britney Spears getting slapped by Victor Wembanyama's security guard. I feel like I can't
escape. It wasn't.
Hey, we got a mystery to solve, fellas, okay? We need to figure out who slapped Britney. Was it herself?
I think was it Vegas? Or did it happen in L.A. or Vegas?
It was Vegas, yeah.
I think the LVPD already solved the mystery.
But there's new evidence, Jordan. Didn't you see?
Yeah, I think I'm talking about the same video evidence as you.
Blood samples.
Oh, my God. DNA.
Oh, God. All right. Blazers, Summer League, Britney Spears getting slapped, all sorts of stuff. Do we have some Hit Me Baby One More Time to come back to at some point?
Oh, I like what you did there.
Oh, we'll get it, baby.
Sports Sunday, Hour 2, next, 1080 The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.